Blessed be the holy name. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this rainy weather, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for this privilege to be here today. Together, Lord, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to come here, Lord, fellowship, worship, and hear your word. And we ask the Lord, you open our hearts now, Father. Break the word of life. Put it down, O Lord, and help us to digest it. That, Lord, in the knowledge of thy word, we learn to get close to you and walk with you. But the knowledge of thy word, O Lord, will not do us any good if, Father, our life is not reflecting the life of Jesus Christ, O Lord. Father, we ask for your grace now, Lord, that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have to wear socks here. I thought it's going to be cold today. You know, I wear socks here. I wear a big sweater, but then I'm feeling sweaty because I'm there in the corner. But anyway, all right. Today we have question and answer. There are three questions. Okay, we'll deal with it. But we have part of which we have discussed on Friday. All right. You know, Friday meeting is a time when we have you, given you the opportunity to ask questions so that you'll be able to get to know what you do not know. So, I'm going to deal with as much as I can, but today only three questions. And hopefully, I will not take too long on this. Now, the first question is something we have dealt with on Friday, but not in detail, so I'm going to bring it out. It was asked by a young boy. Boy who has not even reached puberty yet. He's a primary school boy, about 8 years old, and he asked a question. Well, you know, it's a child, it's observant, it's valid. And even adult will even ask this question, because I have been asked this similar question like this before. The question is, the boy asks, is why did God create mosquitoes and flies? You think you know the answer? I don't think so. Why did God create mosquitoes and flies? And I guess that, you know, he asked this question because, you know, people get... find this mosquito especially, and even flies, a nuisance. Right. Now here in Singapore, we hardly get flies anymore. Actually, you hardly see flies at all. Right? Unless you go to some garbage area, yeah. But on the streets, you know, but in Africa, you walk everywhere in the property, here and there, you see flies around. But, you know, dustbin and food drop on the floor, whatever, flies coming. And mosquitoes... oh, well, Singapore, we are now fighting against the dengue and the chikungunya and the malaria. Yeah, when I was young, we have a lot of mosquitoes. We don't like the sound. Zing, zing. You know how the sound? It's so irritating. Yes, I know that. Especially when you can't get to bed. Alright, so, why did God create mosquitoes and flies? So we have to look back, as I said this. When anybody asks me any question, and I realize that they are, if they were to pick up, I mean, ask me a question and give me verses of the scripture that is obtained from the Bible here and there, I know that they are in trouble. Because if you don't see the sequence of event that unfolds from the beginning of time, then you will not know how to look at it. As well, we talk about the laws, about clean food, unclean food, and so on and so forth. So here, we got the book of Genesis. To pick up some verses and let you understand. Genesis. As I said, we all know some of these pieces, a billion pieces of the creation. But we all look into it so that we can answer why God created flies and mosquitoes. And why God create all these nuisance? Alright. You find flies new nuisance? Yeah, everybody said, why did God create flies? And such a nuisance like this boy was asking, obviously. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that's it, full stop. We know that. But because the way that the verse was constructed, the next one, It just says and so the word and has become a problem. In Hebrew it means V-A-V, va, means to join, a conjunction in English, but it's not always the same. It's not always true that it is a conjunction. Immediately this is what followed now. So there is a space of time between verse 1 and verse 2 that we already know, which was the fall of Lucifer. Alright? The angels who took side with Lucifer and choose to want to go their own way. Now, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now that's millions and millions and billions of years ago. We do not know how far back it was. And there was a civilization, so to speak. A kingdom of animals. And there was no creature that were created in the image of God. There was no man. But of course they found those, scars and all this. It was all shape and this and that. And somebody said these are the prehistoric man. And they found fossils and bones there and all that. But of course there are others that in Christian denomination, they do not believe in that. They believe that this earth of ours was 6,000 years ago. When God created this heaven and earth, the earth was only 6,000 years ago that God created it. And the dinosaurs were there, and all those big monster animals were there with Adam. Now that don't make sense. Because fossils and all this will prove to you that it's not possible. Okay? And I have already written in my book, Genesis. Now the thing is this, but according to the scientific research and all this, and most of the scientists are in agreement for the last, I don't know, few decades that the universe was 4.6 billion years ago was created, and the earth was about 6 million years ago. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's how many million years ago, it doesn't matter to us. But that is what they found, because they sent out don't know what wave and don't know what ultralight, and I don't know how they calculate that, but that's what they come across. But let's look at this now. When God created this universe, we know that scientists discovered that it is all in chemistry, all about physics, and all about mathematics, right? Everything God created, there is a balance. Now, the gas come together, produce this, or whatever. Now, when we talk about iron, what is iron? When we talk about gold, what is gold? Those are just elements and minerals and, well, we call it metal. Yeah, but what's metal? Where does it come from? So, God formed all that millions of years ago. And the earth, 6 million years ago. Let's say, put it back there, whatever the number be. Now, the earth of ours is made up of elements. Right? Now how God put this element together to form this and form that, I don't know how. But once the earth was in place, once all those planets out there in the solar system and out there in the universe, in our own solar system, in a cluster, supercluster. The only thing we know that this earth is the only earth, or only planet, that can support life. There's no other planet that have life. But some are finding, trying to find water. They think that when they find water, they should find life. Not necessarily. Huh? Our earth is such that it is the third planet from the sun. Am I not right? Is it the third planet? I know very well because I know. I live on it. Third planet from the sun, it just have the right distance, the right warmth, right amount of water, and all this to sustain life. And that's what we call logic and in God's thinking and planning. So that's why in chemistry, you know what chemistry, how do you get water? Where do you get water from? It's gas. It's two part oxygen, hydrogen, and one part oxygen. But then you think you can take, you know, a tube of from a can, what do you call, a tank of hydrogen and another one from oxygen and try to put together and see what happens. You think it will form water? No. There must be a certain way that thing happens, right?
We all know that.
You see, and that's what God is. A big, wonderful, awesome God can make this.
So now, when God created this earth millions of years ago,
all the elements come together.
Before He bring out the plant on this earth, He must have created something else to sustain that life. What do you think the first creature, the living creature,
that was created?
It's microorganism. Huh? Got it? God created the microorganism. Now, Sister Jenny Piper sent me why this question was asked of me by this African Zambian boy. Sister Jenny Piper happened to send me a link to a video, and I watched it. And I said, well, okay. I told her, I said, I already know the answer. And the truth is that the video proved the fact. There was this scientist, I don't know from which part of Europe or America, I can't remember now. He believed that they can find life deep down in the earth. Life, living creatures. And of course, some of his scientific friends said that he is local. How do you find life? So he spent his own money, flew all the way to Cape Town in South Africa, went to this gold mine. You know, Cape Town, what they call South Africa, Republic of South Africa, that's a lot of gold mine there. And he went down together with the miner, were willing to take him down, and the journalist was following him to film the whole thing. And the mine was 2 miles deep down. 2 miles is how many kilometers down? 3 point something, right? 3.6, I think. Down! And it's very deep down. You know how far that is down? Yeah. It went down there. It was hard, humid, so they have all the machine and all that. And so the men were drilling for gold. And in one day they can have $7 million of worth of gold in one day they can mine. So the man was there, the sun was there, and he took the water. It was seeping through the rock. Huh? And it went and checked and find life in it. I wasn't surprised. Now, this earth of ours, this present earth of ours, came after the fall of Lucifer, right? So what happened? God frees up the whole earth. Now, once you don't have life, when you freeze it, and you shut down the sun, the earth went into a frozen state. And what happened to the plant, the seed, the animal, all died. And for millions of years, they were under this earth. And as the earth began to move, as you know, molecules move, atoms move, I was told. Not just stable. Just poopy. You say it's solid, right? I was told that the atoms are moving. I don't know how to move, but they said they are moving, vibrating, whatever. So the whole earth of ours was frozen up for millions of years. And in the center of the earth, we have the core of fire, the molten. Right? What do you call it? Magma. It's hot in there, and the top is frozen up, and so you have the expansion and the contraction. The earth is moving. Animals that die are compacted and become fossilized, or the trees and the plants, what's what it turned out to be? What? Oil. So all the thousands and millions of years, I don't know how long it was left. But what happened to the life? The animal died out, the fish died out, the trilobite died out. But then you know what? The plant of the seed of the plants did not die out. They went to a frozen state. Microorganism also freeze. All frozen. Because you know, when we talk about the seed, what is the seed? Come on. What is the seed? Now, you and I came from our parents. We all came from our father and mother. Right? Now when we talk about the seed, what is a seed? It's a female that does not have a seed. Females do not have seed. They have eggs, but not seeds. Egg is not a seed. It's the male that has the seed. Do you understand that? The egg is the nutrient. It's a seed that goes into the nutrient and gets planted in that the ovum. They cause it to mitosis, go into a state of mitosis and multiply 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and so on. So now you have microorganism, it's only one cell anymore. One cell, living thing. The seed of the plant, it's just considered one. It needs to have sunlight. It needs to have all the other nutrients to grow. So, what happened? When God, the Spirit of God moved in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. In the last verse, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Spirit of God began to move upon the surface of the water. There was darkness upon the earth because it was frozen with water. So deep, deep darkness. The sun was not there. It's all burnt out. God switched it off. Nothing. Everything was black and cold. And God's Spirit began to move. Said, let there be light. Because God Himself is light. And to this day, as I said this before, the scientists couldn't even figure out where is that light come from. They call it cosmic light. Now, if you ever go out to space and walk up there in the space, you'll see, you could see far away. But where did light come from? Now, stars are sparkling in there, but where is the light that got kind of glow in the whole universe? They call it cosmic light. They couldn't trace what it is. Some may say, Lord, you know, in science, there's a lot of theories. But when the Spirit of God moved, God Himself is the light. When God moved, He brings warmth. You agree with it? God does not bring cold. He brings light, and light is warm. Yes? If you ever go to a cemetery and you're afraid of the dark, walk through a cemetery, you feel, I feel cold because there's some kind of creepy whatever is out there. The spirit, right? It's demonic, or some gold, and you feel creepy on it. But when the Spirit of God moves, He brings light, He brings warmth. And that's when the light starts to come. Now, what happened to these microbes? What happened to this microorganism? Now, the first thing that God created from the very beginning, and they are there, they don't die so easily. That's why when you have infection, you know, bacteria can hang around. And when you have viral infection like herpes, shingles, that virus will go hide somewhere. You think they feel fine. When under stress, under good condition, they start to revive. And they will start to sing songs. Joy, 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 I'm back. So, in the life is found. I want to say this. Life is everywhere in the soil. Life is everywhere in the dust of the ground. The dirt. That's life. But don't be afraid of dirt. It's not going to kill you. I don't know why, you know. There are some farmers who are out there farming with bare hands. Dig the earth and all this, pluck something from the plant and eat it. Then go to bed. Not that the earth, the soil is contaminated. My little fellow here, Adam, I told you once, when he was around 2 to 3 years old, I went in him to Chocolate Chow Chukan Park. He wanted to go ahead and, you know, he wanted to explore, he wanted ahead of me. And then he went and saw, this playground. And they put all that sand and all that thing on the playground where the, you know, the seesaw, you know, the swing, and the slides. And of course he was young, he was curious, he was wearing a shoe. And then he wanted to go on it. He put it back. And I said, you want to play on the sand? Take off your shoe. So he took off the shoe. He put his foot on it and touched the soil and said, the sand, what do you feel like? Then he decided to taste it. He took some and put it on his lip. I looked at him and said, well, how is it? What are you doing with that soil? Well, it doesn't kill him. You know, and at least you know what that tastes like. You have never known what soil tastes like? Taste it. How many of you have eaten vegetables and then you find that they are not washed properly by the hawkers, right? And if the soil gets stuck in between leaves, and then you bite, cap, and you say, oh, the soil you bite on it. I swallow it, it won't kill you. Because there's life in it. And so, soil is life. The earth itself is life. You came from soil. You came from the dust of the ground. Remember? So what do you think you are? Yeah, that's where life comes from. As what happened when God said, dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. Right? He's speaking of this body. So return back to the earth. So I want you to know that. Okay? Now, that's what the soil life is. Now, so when this microbe start to come alive. Now, God's doing this recreation now. This one start coming alive. What is the purpose of this microbe? Why did God create bacteria? The bacteria that make you sick. The bacteria that you need to be in your guts. What we call the good ones. The bad ones. Why did God create good and bad? Because God said, I create good and evil too, right? Think about it. That's what we discussed on Friday. Is God all the time good? I ask the question. Is God all good? He said, God is good. Always God is good. But God said, I create good and evil. Huh? And God says, you know, don't let the sun set upon your wrath. And God says, when God's wrath comes up, He will judge. And He will judge harshly and righteously. But He will have mercy too. And God, our God, is also a God of war. A lot of people don't seem to realize that. Because we present God is good, God is love, God is good, God is love. Yeah, but God is hate also. What do you hate? He hates sin. And He has to judge sin. So the good bacteria, bad bacteria, God created them. Right. So what is the purpose? How does the, you know, life begin from a smaller microorganism to the highest, that is you and me. So from the microorganism, what did they do? Well, you know, what we use the word, the organism oozes slime a lot. They fart a lot. They ooze out gas a lot. Yeah, you don't know, right? You don't know. Do you know that this microorganism, many of them, they have a lot of slime. They ooze a lot of slime and they ooze out a lot of gas. You don't believe me? What do you got your yogurt? A sink. You ever get yogurt that, you know, if you make your own yogurt, why it sours? And you get bubbles? How you get less leaven dough? How do you get leavening? You see bubbles too, right? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful, huh? We get all this oozing gas and we eat it. So what do you think you want? God, everything starts from the dust of the ground. So from that microbe, this microorganism, when it starts to do that, is what does it do? It's actually breaking down nutrients in the soil. Yeah, don't you think so? How do you break down something, certain thing, in a certain chemical? Am I not right? You know, in chemistry, right? Huh? Right. You see, how do you cook your rice to make it soft? You boil it. That's chemistry. So all this oozing and the flooding of gas out from this little microscope breaks down those minerals and then it prepares us environment for the seed to grow. So, Brother God, how do you know all that? It's because I look at the wood. I don't have to go look at science. This is just common sense. It's all in the Bible to see how it progresses. And when the seed that is inside, remember, began to sprout, like God let it sprout. Now when it sprouts out, this plant, this seed going to grow, this sapling, what do you get is nutrient? You get your nutrient also from the soil. It breaks down those soil mineral, and to take the nutrient, when the minerals they absorb, they mix vitamins. That's why some people don't realize where the vitamins come from. They think they go to the health food store and buy a bottle of vitamins. Vitamins don't come from the bottle. It comes from the plant. Yeah, they come from the plants. Huh? And many times, of course, the reason why people go to the health food store and buy the supplement is because there are a lot of trace minerals that are not found in the food anymore. And then we are sick. Lack of this, lack of that. And that's why sometimes you have to be careful how what you eat. And even the herbal thing, when you take too much of herb, you know, a lot of people are, you know, we Chinese always go for herb. Tuna. They call it tuna, right? Brew this. And we know a lot of herb, sometimes it when you take excessive of it, it destroys many of your other minerals in the body, nutrients that you need, they remove it. So, basic thing what you should do. You need your carbohydrate, you need your meat, yes. You need your vegetables. And you know the pyramid structure of the food, the amount you should take, you know how that thing is, works. But hey, you know, even as much as I love mee siam, I don't go every day eat mee siam. Right? I only go once a week. Alright, and now there I've got to eat my prawn noodles. But of course it's just food. And we get this from the plant. So with the plant growing up, now, what does God do now? God can bring in all the other creatures, the insect, the creepy crawlies. As the Bible tells us, right? In fact, you bring the creeper crawly out first. The little bugs that grow, come and hatch out, the eggs are coming out. Now, what does this insect do? I mean, I know some of you are afraid of insects. You handle spiders? Do you like spiders? You like to play with bugs and beetles and all that? I do. They're interesting with the creatures. You know, they are this, especially the insect. What originally does the plant eat, or the mosquito eat? They took it from the sap of the tree or the plant. Right? That's what mosquito does. They eat. And of course, today we found only the female mosquito legs, of course, the legs, but only the female mosquito sucks blood, not the male. Now you're female. You know, it's a female mosquito, they want to supply blood because they need the blood to form the egg. But before there was blood, how did they reproduce? There are certain chemicals in the blood that they need, which they found also in the plant. They could. You know. But of course, over time, the mosquito, when they start to transfer themselves, sucking blood, animal blood, and all this, and they start to crossbreed, you get all new diseases because the microorganism is in your body too. That's why you have the parasites, the malaria parasites, dengue or the virus or what bacteria and all that stuff. So, mosquito, flies, the dung beetles, many of all these other insects, they were created for one purpose. What was that purpose? To break down rotten fruit. You know, the tree has fruit, it drops, right? And nobody eats it. After all, Adam cannot consume everything. But what happened to the rotten fruits? Or the tree, the branches drop down, you know? What happened to them? Those insects are doing their work. That's the marvelous thing about insects. The ants, the spider, the dung beetle, whatever beetles, and all this creepy-crawly, the centipede, the millipedes, whatever you name it. They are there to, what? To clean up by breaking it down, digesting it. Wonderful. God did not just have the serpent to do the work of trimming the garden. Yep, he dressed the garden. What happened to the leaves that's on the floor? Do you think he burned it? No. They are food to all those insects. And they break down. But of course, when sin came, that's where trouble starts. When sin came, our human body, this body begins to die. When it begins to die, that is when this bacteria and the insect begin to attack the human body. Why? To break it down. Because we're dying. What happens if you die and you've just left it? Your body is left in the field. You will smell. Very bad smell. Because there's a lot of breaking down by the bacteria. And after you come back, maybe 1 year, you see nothing but your skeleton. The animal, the bugs and all this breaks it down. Bacteria, the insect. Right? And that's why you want to have bugs like the vultures. They clean it up. Right? The crow, they can't clean it up. The animal like the hyena, dirty animal, they clean it up. Oh. So when you die, there's no burial place for you. You're cleaned up by this. But when you're buried, also you're cleaned up by the maggots in the ground. Thank God for insect. Thank God for wiggly, wiggly worm. Yep, they're all life. And life starts in the soil. Amen. Now you understand that. Okay, the next question now. So at least you understand what creation. Okay, we are going to follow up from this little mosquito insect thing. We're going to come up to the higher level of man. But the second question is this, which we have dealt with. This was posed by a brother in the Philippines. And asked me this question. Of course, apparently, sometimes you don't look at it properly, you get yourself messed up. It's about the wound that is on the side of Adam. Now we know the doctrines of the creation of man. Where did man come from? How was man created? Okay, let's go to the book of Genesis. Open and turn to the Bible. Don't be lazy. Don't try not to use electronic Bible. Alright? Turn to your Bible. It's good to have the sword is called scripture. Remember, it's called scripture. Scripture means something that is scripted out. Alright? And I'm very happy to see some people taking pens and pencil and scribble it. You remember them. Actually, I really wish that your Bible is like this, like mine. Okay, scribble here and there and whatever, fill up every corner. Okay, only the mine has been chopped off twice already because this has been repaired twice. And there's a big margin here and they cut off some of my notes. So sometimes I don't know what was written there. But I still remember. So dirty your Bible is dirty, bad condition, you are in a good condition. Okay, remember that. The Bible is too good in a good condition. I say, oh, you have good condition Bible, unless this is news, okay? But if a Bible has been with you for 10 years or so, it's still in good condition, something is wrong with you. Okay, use a Bible, use it. It's supposed to be used, not to be kept. You understand? Now, in chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now, this will be all over the world. But people many times read it, not realizing what they are reading. That's why when I came to this message of God that brought me back to the Bible, I had to take away all my 16 fundamental truths, so-called 16, of the examination of God, and put it away and trade that out. And approach the Bible in a fresh new way. And that's why when I studied the Godhead and studied about the creation of man, I realized something was missing. Because many times you read, and God said, God has created man in own image and after our likeness. And people just read it immediately that God created him from dust on the ground and blew into his nostril the breath of life, man became a living soul. And then after that, God took from the side of Adam and built a woman from his rib, and so on and so forth. But when we study this, we need to understand that the Bible is here saying, let us make man in our own image, and after our likeness, there are two parts here. Remember that. And in the Hebrew, the word image is tsilem. And in the word likeness in the Hebrew is dimut. And it's two different words. Tsilem means the very spiritual characteristics of God in you. That's the image. The sort of you want to be in the image of Christ, to be like Christ. You understand? The spiritual side of it. Dimut, the likeness, means the physical side of it. Did you get it?
Yeah.
You see? So if I have eyes, I have ears and nose and a head and two hands and two legs and so on, that's why when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, after 4,000 years of Adam's creation, after Adam was created, Jesus Christ was like us. Right? That's the likeness. We all have this. We don't have two heads. We don't have three hands. If we do, God, Jesus Christ will come with two heads and three hands too. You got what I'm saying? Like father, like son. A dog give birth to a dog begat his own kind. You don't get a dog to give birth to a wolf. Or even a cat. See? Alright, so now we have this. That God, when God created Adam, he was created in his own image first. The likeness did not come until he took the dust of the ground and formed a body for Adam. Alright, so here now his question. When God removed the feminine attribute of Adam to form Eve, did God make a literal wound in the physical side of physical body of Adam? If no wound was made, what is the meaning of the statement in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21? What is the meaning there? Okay, Genesis 2, 21. And God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Close up his flesh. So the question is this, since we know denomination, Bible and literal. So the question we now want to ask, again, just remind you, keep that in your mind. Is the Bible to be approached literally every time that you read it? Or is the Bible also have figurative meaning, symbolic, allegorically, some expression are there. Now, I wrote the book, The Message, Interpreting Sacred Scripture. Right? If you are ready to prove it. As the denomination would say, if the literal makes sense, take no other sense. So what do you mean by literal makes sense? So when they read this, God put Adam to sleep. You know, like in the magic show. Go to sleep, you know, like a hypnotized and you fall asleep. Then take a saw and saw the body into half and things like that. So do you think God make Adam to sleep? Ooh, go to sleep. And take a knife and cut his side open. Or maybe God don't have to take a knife. He just used a laser from his fingertip, and laser cut, and he put his hand there, took out the rib, break one rib. You know, when you have ribs, always a flesh attached to it. And then he closed up the wound of it. And for that rib, God make a woman. Now, that's what the denomination will tell you. We know that it's not true. By reading it and understanding what God is talking about. Right? So, but the brother is asking the question. Since we believe that God took the feminine spirit out of Eve, then what is the meaning of that? Closing up, as the Bible here said, he closed up the flesh instead thereof. So, he closed up the flesh. Because there is a wound, there is a cut. Right? Are you following me? Alright. His second question. Before we approach the first, together with the second. What is the raw material used by God to form the physical body of Eve? Did he get the dust from the earth again to form the physical body of Eve to house the feminine spirit of Adam? Interesting, huh? Because you're not aware, you know what the answer is, if you have been learning. First of all, we know there's no literal opening. Okay? Because if there is a literal opening, that means the rib has been taken, which they believe also is literal, but then the man don't have a missing rib. Unless a joker and a communist say, oh yeah, there is a missing rib, your wife. So whenever my wife is not around, the rib is missing. When my wife is there, the rib is okay. It's there. Because she's the missing rib. That's not what it is. Because we have the number of ribs as the wife, as the woman. It's expression we know. Take from his side. That's why later on we know that everything is that, you know, as I said, when you are married, walk down the aisle to take your vow. You, sister, standing beside your husband, which side of it will you stand? Do you remember? Brother John, do you remember? KK, do you remember? When you walked down the aisle, the bride, which side was your bride standing? On the left or on the right? Oh, my. Come on. On the right or left? Let me think. Or was it behind you? Or was the wife walks in front of you? God, it's on your left. You know, because your heart is on the left side. It's only on the left. Huh? See? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, these are all literal things. That's why, you know, how the tradition comes about, because they know some of this ancient thing, trying to represent something. That's why you, but the wife is my missing rib, your other half. I mean, actually, your other half is funny. Huh? You know, your wife is your other half. But funny, I thought maybe it's also half right. Because when God took the feminine spirit out from Adam, it's the half. Because Adam, when he was created male and female. Now, what is there about male and female? What is male and female? Now, I told you this. Because our mind is this. When you talk about male and female, male is a man. Female is a woman. Right, when you apply for a job, whatever, you fill in the form, the word S, X, X. If you are a man, you put M, male. If you are a woman, you put M, female. Right, or gender. No, we call it gender, male and female. But is male and female pertaining to sex? Really? Yeah, in the world, in a common world sense, yeah, it's male and female pertaining to sex. But in the Bible, it's not true. Now, if you better listen to it out there, be funny and interesting. And don't say that I'm a false prophet. Listen first, huh? Out there. Huh? The Bible says, God said, let us create man in our own image. In the image of God, create he, him. Male and female, create he, them. Now, what is God? Is God a man? No, the Bible said in the book of Numbers, God is not a man. Neither is God a woman. But of course, there are a lot of some churches in America, crazy woman who as a pastor, who changed the Bible, all the he into a she. So they want God to be a she. They still want to see God to be wearing a skirt. You see the crazy mother they have, the thing that come in their mind. God is a spirit. Right? And I told you, and I asked this question before, and first time when I've been over the world, you know, when I talk about the creation of man, I always ask this simple question to the congregation. And everybody got it all wrong. How many does it take to produce? How many does it take to propagate? The one kind. Two!
Propagate!
Two! Two! Yeah, two! So how come two? Because there's a man, there's a female. There's a man, there's a woman. Right? You take two to produce. I says, no. The answer is just one. Surprise or surprise? Why? Because God is one. It doesn't take two to produce. It takes only one to produce. Oh, everyone said, oh, yeah. How is it so? Because God is spirit. And in Him is male, female. Male, female is not talking about the sexual organs. It's talking about the attributes. Now, you know, one cell animal, like hydra or amoeba, it's only one cell animal. But there is a nucleus and there is a neutron. Right? Have you seen amoeba? Come on. Yeah, okay. Is it a male or female? But yet, there is male and female. Nothing to do with man or woman. Nothing. It's not about your organ. It's about the attribute, the substance. What did the Bible say about the substance? Jesus Christ is so he came in the substance or image, the very substance of God, the very attributes of God. Is it too hard for you to understand? Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay. So, God is male, female. But God is not a man, He's not a woman. But what did the Bible use He? And not she. Or each. Tell me. Because the Almighty Spirit has a lot of attributes. He wants to be a healer, He wants to be a savior, He wants to be a father, He wants to be a mother. Right? He wants to be God, to be worshipped. He wants to be a blesser. It's always true in Him. And we know that the God projects Himself in as masculine. Huh? That's one male attribute side. Masculine. As father, fatherhood. Yes. Now, when you look at a flower out there, how many love to go to flower shows? You know, sometimes you will see a flower show, whoa! See the flower, whoo, so pretty, man, so pretty. And when you look at flowers, so pretty, man. It's always pretty, pretty, pretty. It's the feminine side. Correct? You agree with that? Sure. That's why men buy roses for girlfriend. Girlfriend don't buy roses for men. How many of men ever receive flowers from your wife or your girlfriend? No, obviously not. Because it's supposed to be feminine. Right? And what did the wife or the girlfriend buy for the man? Dumbbell. you see what I'm trying to tell you? That's the masculine aspect and the feminine aspect. You see? Now, if you look at a dove, a white dove, And he's flapping his wings, you know, flying very nicely. You think of it, what? That's feminine. Soft and nice and look at it. But when you see an eagle, you ever see an eagle? Close up. This is a magnificent bird. It's masculine, right? Majestic. But you don't know whether it's a male or female, right? You see, that is this a tribute of what you see has been masculine, what you see has been feminine. So it has nothing to do with male organ or female organ or man or woman stuff. Right? Now, when you see a rhinoceros with all this armor, huh? Coming at you. Boy, this fellow is muscular, big. You know what I mean? He looks like a male thing to you. Ain't it true? Yeah. And when you see, you know, maybe a little nice golden retriever dog, hello, you just start. It's very feminine because some dogs just very feminine, some, oh, look at Buddha. Come on, Buddha is masculine, right? You look at it because it's the appearance, it's the spirit of that dog. Whether it's male or female, it shows that. And you see a little cute little dog, and it's feminine. The sort of, you see, because that's what God is going to show us. It has nothing to do with male or female as far as Baraki's organ is concerned. No. It's a spirit. Remember, it's a spirit. That's all we have today. The gay, the lesbian, the transsexual, right? Homosexual. What happened? Because there's a spirit and they are manifesting. So what are you manifesting? What are you manifesting? We are manifesting the life of Christ. So when God took out from Adam, he took out a feminine spirit. Now what's the raw substance? Of course, it has to be from the earth, from the dust of the earth. God has to, what did he say? There's no rib, no flesh, nothing. It's just what the expression is to take from the side. The whole, the word of God closed up, simple. Always suddenly look to what scripture said. God give us, God take it away. God take it away, God give back. Depends on what, which approach he will. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? I shut before you an open door that no man close. And when it's closed, no man will open it. Now, the door to the marriage supper is still open. When the last elect comes in, right, the door is closed. And we will be shut in for the final trump. Do you see what I'm talking about? So, in the closing of the womb, God only took the feminine spirit side out, the other half. Alright? Adam's other half, so to speak. Adam was male or female. But the body was a body of dust. So when the female is taken out and made into a woman, God grows up a woman. That is the expression. God took out one, he's not going to open another one and take another one. There's no other one. Because he already took out the feminine spirit. There's no more other one. But today, a lot of men, I have another one in Beijing. I have another one in Amsterdam. I have another one in Manila. There's no other one. There is no other bride of Christ other than we. From the womb of Jesus Christ, right? Flows out what? Blood and water. To form you and me a bride for Christ. And there's no other. Christ don't have any other bride. He has only one. One that is known only to him. Not the one that is outside in traditions. Man's organization. No. Are you following me now? So God took the dust of the ground. That's what life is. For the body, there is a spiritual life, there is a physical. And because there is the environment of this earth, three-dimensional world, Adam being a spirit, cannot do anything in the three-dimensional world because that is not tangible. It is not tangible. So he has to be given a tangible body, a physical body. Right. So I said, be fruitful and multiply and be plenished. Take care of this earth. Have dominion over the animals, the birds and the fish and everything. Do you get that? So now here's the other question. If no flesh of Adam was involved to create Eve, and God also make a physical body for Eve out of dust of the ground, just like what he did to Adam, then Eve's physical body was not a byproduct of Adam's physical body, which also means that Adam and Eve were not related physically at all. Huh? Kind of strange question, huh? You get what you're saying, you see? Because if Eve comes from the dust of the ground, and Adam also comes from dust of the ground, but Eve was taken up from Adam, the feminine spirit, the feminine side, and then make a dust from the ground for Eve to go in. There's no relation because Eve did not come from Adam physically. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no relationship. But you see, the problem is this. It's not about the dust. It's not about the dust. Hey, come on. You know, every day that you eat chicken, you eat the vegetables, what do you think you're eating? You don't even know, perhaps you'll be eating your great-great-grandfather. Because dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. In those days, back then, when somebody died, they buried them in behind the backyard or something, right? And then they plant vegetables in the garden. And the vegetable is eating that nutrients from your dead body of your ancestor. Or your great-great-grandfather. And here comes the cow eating the grass which is growing on top of that grave. And then you drink milk. What do you think you're eating? Dust is life. This body is dust. Right? So when it dies, go back there. But the true life is your spirit, your soul. That's your true life. Right. Got it. Alright. And you see, when you die, I mean that depends on your weight, huh? When you die and you're cremated to ashes, to mean to ash, right? When you cremate into fire, right? It comes out, you know, in that container. What is the weight of the ash? Your body is about 72% or 70% water, right? Water is consumed by the fire. It goes up. Then all that is your blood is your bones. And then your frost teeth. Or your prosthesis. You know, that left there. But the ash itself, composed of calcium and all other minerals that's similar to dust. What is the weight of it? You may weigh somebody 100, 200 pounds, I mean 70 kilos or 100 kilos. What is the weight? That depends on your size. It's 2 and a quarter kilogram to 4.5 kilograms. That's about what you get. So how much is your worth of the body? How much do you think you're worth? How much do you think you're worth? You pamper the body, you know, go to spa and make a face, a massage and whatever, man, you decorate your face. You pamper the body, but how much is your body worth? The amount of ashes, minerals, some good stuff there. I don't even know whether it's worth $4. I think it's good for fertilizer. You know, if I die, you know, remember that, my son? Cremate me and go and fertilize some plant. And after the plant grows, eat me. But that's what dance is all about. It's life, brother. It's life. A lot of people don't realize the dance is life. Only that we are spirit that we need to have a house. This is the house. Hope you know that. Right. okay, let's continue what the answer. Then he said, you mean when God separated the family spirit from Adam, oh, the family spirit, he also created the physical body of Eve. The raw material used by God to create a physical body for Eve is the family spirit. He got a little bit confused. Alright. All you have to need to know that God created Adam, male and female. You understand? And male and female, as I said again, it's not about a man, being a man. That you will have a male organs and stuff like, no. It's just the attribute. Then God put a bigger body and put Adam inside that body. No, because God wanted the man to be like him, fatherhood. Got it? So Adam must be created. I'm a man. I'm not a man. You know what I mean? You see a woman, man walking down. You ever seen them? The effeminates? He said that's a spirit, you understand? Out of his gun, he looked like a man. Hello. You know, that you know something is wrong. It's a spirit manifestation. But he made Adam as a man, in a male body, to act like a man. The man spirit, fatherhood, like God is. Then he took the family spirit out from him and then formed a body of dust again, put the family spirit in. Now this one, he came, hello, Adam. Got it right. He never said to Adam, who are you, huh? Obviously not. You got the point I'm trying to tell you is that spiritual thing, that's attributes. Okay. Alright. You cannot take the physical body out of Adam and make it into a physical body. This is what you want to understand. See, how could it be? You see, the relationship between Adam and Eve, it's not the body. It's the spirit. What people say, your soulmate. No, you know the word soulmate. How come it's not the bodymate? Why soulmate? You know, it's you say, how do you fall in love with a woman? You know, if a man go and caught a woman, the tendency is the first thing they know, okay, she must be intelligent, she must be not too short, not too tall. Alright? Pretty looking, maybe that's one of them, pretty looking. But for us, truly, you married because there's an attraction. It's not because she's pretty or he's handsome, but because there's an attraction. That attraction is something else. Right? You get what I mean? If you only think about the face, as the song said, my face is my fortune, sir, she said, you know the song? Your fortune, your face, your fortune, you have problem. You end up in Hollywood and you get all the problem. You know, in Hollywood, many women, girls with pretty face, you want to go to Hollywood to be actresses, end up in pornography. They produce blue movies. That's very sad. Many of them, they were tricked into it. You see? Because they have pretty face, but they cannot act. You understand what I mean? So, it's not about the physical side, it's about the spiritual side. Last question, now we come to it, about the serpent. This question was asked not because of this question itself, but it was mainly about the clean and unclean food. The brother was asking, if I'm American, you know, sometimes when we look at the Bible, we tendency to pick up what we already are taught in the denomination. So, we are aware, everyone aware, all of us are aware, whether you have been taught and not come to know the true effects or not, but every one of us, even those who are in Catholicism, or even those who are not even Christian, they have heard. Oh, like for example, okay, the Jew, they cannot eat pork, right? You know that, huh? They cannot eat pork. Oh, so the Muslim, because they also took from the Old Testament, because they believe in Abraham and so forth, the Lord, so they don't eat pork even, because it's unclean food. Right? And then when we read the Bible, yes, the Bible says, that there is the clean and the unclean animal, the clean food and the unclean food. Right? So now the problem comes to the New Testament, where there are so many places in the Bible that sort of confuse a lot of people. Because in the book of Acts, okay, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts 15 verse 29. Now here we have the Gentiles came into the gospel. Amen? You know, right? Now, the gospel started on the day of Pentecost. And the gospel was first sent to the Jew, not to the Gentiles. Okay? And on the day of Pentecost, thousands of people converts. And they were all Jews. They were all Jews, whether it's a Persian Jews or Grecian, wherever they came from. They're all Jews. Later, the 1 year passed by, 2 years passed by, then years more later, the gospel went out to the Gentile, and the Gentile received the Holy Spirit in Cornelius' home. And of course, when the news went out to Jerusalem, they couldn't believe that even the dogs got the gospel and got the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit was given to the dogs. We are dogs, huh? You know why we are dogs? Because we are unclean. You understand? We are Gentile. We are not circumcised. No, we are unclean. Only those who are circumcised are clean. You see, that's religion. And that's one thing about religion. You need to understand. It's not about religion. It's about God. Really go you back to Him. And He set the standard for you to follow. And for you to understand His move. Okay. So, when the Jonah came to the gospel, the elders and the apostles didn't know what to do with it. How is it possible? So there was this council in Jerusalem, the first council, and they talk, and give their point of view. You know, sometimes God watched down from heaven above and look at them and say, okay, let them discuss what they think is right. And that's why you have a minister's meeting, and today we have an ecumenical meeting, right? What your opinion, this opinion, and this, you know, they chop this off, chop that off, add this in, add that in. You got a point? You understand what I'm saying? Aha. Uh-huh. As I give an anti-message, there's a lot of ecumenical move. They want to meet together to discuss. And when you start discussing in a council like this, you're chopping something out, add something in. And this is what actually happened in the first council in Jerusalem. So, in the end, again, they gave it to the Gentile, verse 29, and told them that you abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which ye, if ye keep yourself, you shall do well, fare you well. Now, food offered to idols is unclean. Apparently, most food they offer to idols are pigs. You know, true? You know, it's true, isn't it? You're a big fat pig in the table offered to idols. You think the idol can eat it? No, we consume it. The human being consume it. Food, the blood, anything that is strangled, that's blood. Blood cannot eat. Blood is considered a sacred. So these are passed down over to the Gentiles. Right? Passed on to the Gentiles. Now Paul was there and didn't say nothing because he was not part of the council then. So later on, things are different. Things are different in that when Paul wrote his epistle to the other churches that he founded, he told them, whatever is set before you eat, don't ask questions. Whether it's blood, a dish of blood that is well cooked, that don't look like blood, you know, today a lot of mock meat, huh? You know, mock meat? They make a vegetable, make a tofu. But it looks real, looks very nice, looks like char siu. Right, look like roast meat, is it? Some of them look like they even taste like it. Yeah, there's more. And another dish, perhaps is a strangled chicken. The blood is still in it. You need to ask questions. Huh? So whatever is on the table, that's it. Now, you can eat it. But Paul, in one place, says, when you eat it, don't be a stumbling block. That is the most important thing. Remember, Don't be a stumbling block to one who is weak. Now, if you happen to know someone who's a Christian, and you know, you talk with him and he'll talk with you, oh, you cannot eat blood, this and that, you know. Okay, so next time you go out there, make sure that you don't touch him. Anybody going to eat with him in a restaurant that you eat steak, a sirloin steak, or the T-bone steak? When a man, waitress comes and says, yeah, may I have your order? And you know the person is sitting beside you, and don't say, give me medium rare. Huh? Medium rare. No, you know there's blood in it. Do you know what medium rare is? And people think that there's no blood. There's blood. That's a blood serum there. You know, I was told a brother, Branham, like a bread. I don't know how you eat bread. I love medium rare. We can see the redness in it. Some people say there's no blood. There's blood. But then if you split there, even though you don't medium, that's well done. Well done, you come by, you don't see red. But the blood cell is already there. Right? You see, denomination don't teach the people properly. And that's why Paul is problem over in those days too. They stumble over these things. Paul said, whether we eat, are we the better? Or we don't eat it, are we not the worse at all? To eat or not, it's not the issue. You know, you're not better off by not eating it. Another, you're better off by eating it. It's about, don't be a stumbling block to a brother or a sister who is weak in the faith. You don't want to destroy that person's faith. He has to learn. Now, we also know that when a person eats healthy food, the tendency to be healthy. You agree with that? Yes? So, now, on the other hand, there are people who eat unhealthy food, well, unclean food, so to speak, and yet they can live beyond 100 years old. Look at Japan. Is that not true? Look at the catfish. Catfish is unclean. Right? Octopus! Done. They got char siu, they got pork. But yet, they maintain their diet properly. Correct? They eat a lot of sashimi, they eat a lot of healthy food, vegetables. And yet, there are those who eat healthy food, they get sick and they die even earlier. So, what is it going to do with food then? Huh? What is food all about then? Clean and unclean. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of Genesis again. Genesis. What happened in the fall? Alright, go to Genesis chapter 3. Okay, verse 21. Now, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Why did God make this coat of skin? Did God have a sewing machine? And make clothes of skin and clothe Adam and Eve? Where did he get this coat of skin? He got it from slaying two animals. Right? You agree? Do you understand what I'm saying? And that coat of skin most likely is from the lamb. Because we are all well known that God used the lamb to represent the sacrifice. And lambs are clean animals. So God killed, I don't know how many, so that he could clothe Adam and Eve properly. Now, that's the first sacrifice. My question now is this. Adam and Eve was driven out of the garden. And then they have two sons, Cain and Abel. And we know, of course, Cain was the seed of the serpent. And seeing that he was the one who carried him, become part of the family, growing up under the same roof. Now, ever so often, I don't know how often, whether yearly or not, I have no idea. Adam must have sacrificed animals to God. You agree now? Yes? Yeah. Because the Bible says, after Cain and Abel was born, and it came time for them to give their own offering, right? Means they know what to do. Because Adam did it. But when Adam sacrificed the animal, what kind of animal did Adam sacrifice? Was it a pig? Was it a pig? No. It can't be. It must be a clean animal. Alright. Then what was the law? The God said to Adam, when you sacrifice to me, Adam, I want you to sacrifice to me only clean animals. Did you read that in the Bible? No. So where did Adam get that revelation? That's why I'm telling you this. Adam was a son of God, and he had the revelation. He understood. He understood. And when God slain the animal, clothed Adam and Eve, it set the precedence for Adam to do likewise. There are three kinds of offering that men carry out even before Israel became a nation. Three offering. One, burnt offering. Burnt offering tells you one thing. You burn the whole of this animal as a sweet smelling savor to God. You got it in? It's just like an offering to God. From the bottom of your heart, you got it. Yeah. Second one is a peace offering. You make peace with God. And the third is the sacrificial offering. Sin offering. The first, you cannot eat because it's burnt up. The last two, the peace offering. You who set up the peace offering, offer it to God, and then you eat the meat. Sin offering, in the Torah, later on after Moses was given, it's called sin offering. Only the high priest, or only the priest, will do the sacrifice. And you who are the sinner, who bring the sin offering, you don't eat it. The priest eat it. Got it? So now, the three offering. Do you think that Adam performed it? Do you think that Adam performed those three offerings? Obviously. What offering? He make peace with God. Peace offering. He eat the meat. The sin offering, he make it, he send it to God. Sacrifice it. He eat it. How come he could eat it? He was here a priest. Oh yeah. Let's go to the book. So that you may understand a little bit more, let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Somebody read it.
1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that he may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah, you're a holy priesthood. Even Revelation 1:6 said the same thing. See, we are a holy priesthood. Adam, he himself was a priest because he sacrificed. He was a priest of the Lord. Every child of God, foreordained and chosen, we are holy priesthood. We are priests and kings unto the Lord. Yeah. So he sacrificed and he did. And some of the people don't realize that Adam, at that time after the fall, he eat meat. People find it hard to believe. You get it? Okay. Now let us go on to Genesis. And we are looking into one verse of scripture, Genesis chapter 9. And see if it is true. And what kind of animal can be eaten and what animal cannot be eaten. After the fall, let me ask you this. Did Adam eat chicken? Hmm? Did he eat? Even pork. Read read Genesis 9:3. And then see the God, understand what it says in Genesis 9:3. Okay, Paul, Henry, read it.
Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs.
Right. Now, this is after the flood, right? After the flood, am I right? Okay, before the flood, did they eat pork? Do you think they eat pork? Do you think he eat pork? Or even any of the pre-flood? Okay, before the flood. All those that live before the flood, did any of them eat any animal that is considered unclean? Do you think they can eat them? That is unclean. Do you think they eat? The Bible here is silent, but look at it. Because here in verse 3 of chapter 9, every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Now, that gives us understanding that before the flood, somehow, the people don't eat anything they consider too dirty. Because there are a lot of animals, right? Why would they eat pig? When Adam sacrificed, or Abel sacrificed, anybody sacrificed animal to the Lord, what kind of animal they sacrifice? Usually are the sheep, the goat, the cattle, whatever. Right? You understand that? It must be, because you know, the Bible is silent. Only this verse says, after the flood, every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Anything that moves can be eaten. Like I give you all the herbs of the field. So you can eat them after the flood. Whether it be a crab is unclean. Duck is unclean. Pigs is unclean. Eat it. Lizard is unclean. Snakes is unclean. Eat it. So the law hasn't come in to state what is clean, what is unclean, what food can be eaten, what cannot be eaten, right? Laws hasn't come in yet. But here it tells us you can eat anything. Because why? If law hasn't come, there must be grace before that. You got it? You see? There's always something that God started, and because people rebel, that's law comes in to guide the people back to what God intended. And that's why in the millennium, in the age of regeneration, God will bring in the law for who? Not for us, but for the people and the nations of the world. You understand what I'm saying now? Okay? So now, before the flood, there are all these other people who have moved away from worshipping the true God, Yahweh. They invoked the name of Yahweh upon idols of wood and stones, right? Then they sacrifice to their gods. They not only sacrifice clean animal, you can be sure they sacrifice unclean animal, and they even sacrifice children. That's why God used that image of sacrificing a child and put it upon Abraham. Bring your son and sacrifice it to me. And we know that's pagan, right? Right, but after, when God stopped him, because God is not going to do that, he will be like other gods, other idols, so-called gods that demand the people to sacrifice their children. And you know that God has said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and you start sacrificing children, it's contrary to his commandment. You get what I'm saying? So, pig must be sacrificed. But when the two lights of the cross, you know, there's always the mixture of people. After Abraham and all those patriarchs, they stopped people. Like Abraham, before we got called Abraham, his uncle, auntie, cousin, nephew, whatever, You are all mixing with idols. But the true believer in that life, I believe, they will maintain cleanliness of eating what is good. You follow me now? Okay. Now, the question is, what is clean and unclean animal? The Lord came later on, right? After Mount Sinai, the Lord came. You find it in the book of Leviticus. We're not going to read that. What is clean animal? What is considered clean animals? What is considered clean animals? Come on. One, the animal that chewed the cud. Right, like cow. And animals that have part hoof. Okay? Like what? Like cow? Like sheep? Like goat? So animal that chew the cud, but the hoof is not parted like a horse. It's unclean. Donkey is unclean. So God put this and all these other details. Okay, now, can the Jew touch a pig? Pigs are unclean, right? Can a Jew touch a pig? I think we already know. Sister Kenji already know the answer on Friday. She said, oh, this is okay. Can a Jew touch a pig? Hello, piggy pig. Can you touch it? Dog is unclean. Woo woo. Now, go touch it. Can you touch it? Can they touch it? Yes. If they cannot touch it, Christ will not sit upon a donkey nor a horse. Because they are unclean. Right? Am I not right? Come on, now you understand a bit more now, huh? But what is considered unclean? You cannot touch anyone that is dead. It's unclean. Even when your father or mother died, you touch them, you are unclean for one day. That's what the law says. Okay? Okay, now, interesting, my question. Was the serpent a clean beast of the field or an unclean beast of the field? Some of you say yes, some of you say no. But when you say yes, you must give an answer. Explain why. If you say no, you must explain why. What's the answer? The answer is neither. Because when we talk about clean and unclean food, it is not about the cleanliness of the animal. It is about the ceremonial. It's about worship. When you come to worship God, you sacrifice. It's a worship, it's a ceremony. So God said, like, this is clean, this is unclean. Oh yeah, the animal, the pig is unclean. In what way is unclean? Before there was a fall, what do you think the pig eat? Actually, because the Bible says you eat all the herbs of the field, right? You know, right? But it's only after the sin came, the animals, some of them turn into eating rubbish. Like today, hey man, oh man, oh woman, you and I, we are eating a lot of rubbish. Are we not? Are we not? Come on. So is the serpent clean or unclean? If you say unclean, you are right. It's an unclean. If the serpent is unclean, so are we. Because the serpent do not have part hoof. The serpent don't chew the cud, neither do you, nor do we have part hoof. Are you not unclean? Are you not unclean? If you talk about it, it's clean and unclean by the law. So before the law comes, there was no such thing as clean or unclean. So when we said, God, take the animal and clothe Adam and Eve, we realize, of course, it must be a lamb because the story runs to being lamb being a sacrifice, right? Obviously. So what is unclean? Look at the 70 AD. When the Roman army lay siege to Jerusalem. For almost 5 months, no food, people start dying. They eat their children when they die, because they were the first to die. They find hard to eat old men that die because it's too chewy. Because the baby that dying, maybe they eat it because it's tender. So eating him, so is cannibalism a terrible thing? Is cannibalism a terrible thing? Because we eat animals, and animal eats animals. So is cannibalism a very bad thing? So now, you understand about whether the serpent is clean or unclean? It's neither. Because when you talk about the law, yeah, you can say it is unclean. So are we? Because we don't have pot food. We don't chew the dirt. And we are also higher than in the animal kingdom. And the serpent has become part of mankind now in that seed that runs through it. Because what happened in the garden, right? And you understand, that's why, because of that serpent, the brother fall in us, now we have the craving to eat all sorts of junk food. Amen! How many of you love belly pork? Roast pig? Nice, come on, don't say yeah. What do you mean? One time you smell it, you know, in the Philippines, when you pass by the store, it says lok chong. Wow, the smell of it, fantastic, huh? Yes, you know. But surely, of course, we say, I don't like it, but what about crab? You eat crab, you love it, you eat prawn, just unclean. You eat duck, unclean. You don't even know that you're eating it. But you see, it's all about, in the Bible, when you talk about clean and unclean, it's about ceremonial law. It's about worshipping God. Sacrifice that which is clean to him. Why? Here comes the types. God chose Abraham. Right? Have a promised son. And you know the promise projected to Christ. Projected to Christ, right? In thee shall all nations be blessed. Projected to Christ. Not Isaac. Isaac was to be sacrificed. God would not allow it because that one that's his promise would be sacrificed. Right, then comes the nation out of Isaac, the son, come the nation of people. And God said that you must be a people separated unto me. What did he give them? The token of circumcision. I want you to say carefully as I close. And the token of circumcision is unique only to Israel. You can tell, you probably, if you Google it, the theologian out there will tell you that it is something very common that was practiced even before Israel had it. That's nonsense. Nonsense. We Gentiles don't circumcise. Until you come into the modern world with American influence, because American, all the children born there, they want to earn the money. Cut, pay up. 2,000 or 1,000, how much they want to charge. And some of you are here, are circumcised. But all of which gender don't circumcise. But God has separated this nation from Abraham. When you get Israel, you are a people separate. You are unique. You are different. This is a mark from different. Number two, you eat only clean animal. Right? Give them this law. You are sanctified a people. And you must eat clean food. So what is it now? Do you understand the time and shadow? God give us Jesus Christ. Right? From there came the nation, a holy nation. You, me, we are a holy nation of people. Amen? And what are we supposed to eat? We're supposed to eat clean food. This one. They are an adulterated word of God. Not mixed with men. This. That you might be a people separate from the world. Come out of all my people. So God says, is to get you out, form you into people for his own name. Clean.
holy unto him. Did you get it now?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for truth, Father. I pray that, Lord, you break down further to those who have heart to hear and a ear to hear, Father, and to be blessed. And then, Lord, we draw us closer to you and we walk with you daily until we see Christ come for his bride. We ask for your grace now today, Lord, in Jesus' name.